Go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of Psalm. We always think we were there Psalm this past week. We'll be there again tonight and next week, but along with several other Psalm 61. And does everybody have a handout? Everybody have a handout? Okay, I'll try to take my time tonight. Okay, we still any more handouts? So raise your hand if you did not get a handout. We have one over here. We have at least two, one in front of you, one over here on the far side. Just hold your hand up, folks, and we'll make sure you get one. Okay, Brother Sam's coming in with a couple. Hold your hands up again, please, so Brother Sam can see where you're at. All righty. As I mentioned here, when we first started talking about a few of the things I'm doing on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, I had reminded you that some of this stuff I have taught before, but at the same time, some of it is also adjusted according to the congregation that you're teaching and preaching to. But I thought it was important that I do some similar things. As you know, we spent almost 5 years just traveling, helping struggling churches to keep their doors open, help them to regroup, get back together, call a pastor, and we moved on. We were about 9 months, the minimum. Some were a little longer. I don't think anything was, well, only one was less than 9 months. Others were 9 months or longer. Each of those churches now are doing well. One of those churches now contacted me recently that they're without a pastor again. And so we'll be praying for them as you think about it in Hurricane Virginia. And I've also got a resume. I still get resumes on occasion for a man looking for an opportunity to pastor. They resign their church. They're praying about the Lord's will, where they go next. And so I still get some of those on occasion for men looking. But right now, there's a shortage of pastors. There's an abundance of churches without pastors across America. I know personally, through friends and other colleagues, 51 as of yesterday, churches of like ours, of like faith. There's more than that. That's just one source. All across, there's hundreds that are looking for a pastor. There's other churches here in town, across town, for example. They've been looking for a youth pastor for over a year. Good salary. Able to take care of him full time, but getting people willing and ready to serve, qualified to serve, or meets their philosophy of ministry. There's a great need. So I felt a need. I thought it would be a good idea if I share some things with you that I have shared with other churches that went through a transition, went through a time of hurt, went through a time of discouragement. And in many cases, it can be applied to many different churches. So I'm using some of those, but also tweaking, adjusting, making changes, taking things out according to the congregation. And so as I speak to you and as I have spoken to you about praying for your pastor, just keep in mind that I'm not trying to build myself up. I'm not trying to get you to do something for me. It does not matter who stands in front of you to preach and teach as your pastor. These are things that we should, and the Bible teaches us about praying for a pastor and some of the reasons why we should pray for our pastor, as well as authority. And by the way, I'll say this and we'll move on. We don't need to like the man or the politics in office, but we still need to pray for our president. Amen? From ground level, local politicians on up, we need to pray for them that God will work in their hearts and lives, put places, people in that need to be in. And sometimes God gives us what we deserve, even through mercy. And other times things take place because we don't get involved. And I think we should be involved and pray and give our voice as believers. But that's another subject. Let's go ahead and look at Psalm 61. We'll read verses 1 and 2. We'll go tonight, cover four areas of praying for your pastor. I think I'll add three more or four more next week, and we'll be finished with that. But we'll talk about four of those tonight. Psalm 61, verse 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And if you read your Bible, and if you notice a little heading, as I mentioned last week, about referring to as David flees to God. And so often we flee from things, but we need to remind ourselves, we need to be make sure we're heading toward God when we're fleeing or we're running from something, going toward God. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word. Bless our time together tonight. May we be uplifted and glorified, Father. May you, of all things, Lord, in our hearts and our minds, to uplift you. Lord, help us to learn and glean from the scriptures. And Father, help me as a pastor as well to remember, as I also, Lord, not only pray for my people, pray for the ministry, but Michelle and I continue to pray for our church back home where our parents attend, where we have attended, and Brother Walls, who we have called pastor for many years. And Father, help us to be mindful of the importance of this role. In Jesus' name, amen. Seven ways to pray for your pastor. And I'll make mention of this one more time and we'll get started. We had the privilege of when we first got married, to be in a church together as a young couple. And then later, being away in the military, Bible college, and having our sending church. We're involved in missions. Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, Brother Garvin Walls is our pastor. It's a little church in a community of 4,000 people that have 700 people come on Sunday morning. Of 4,000 people. He is a tremendous soul winner. He's a great pulpiteer. He is a mentor. He is an encouragement in many aspects to me. He's one of the heroes of the faith for me, for what he has taught me, what I have learned from him, and I continue to pray for him. I continue to hear from him and he from me. We always joke. He always calls me Dr. Cook, and I call him Nurse Walls. And it depends on who calls first. If I call him, I call him Dr. Walls. He is a friend. To give you a little bit of idea about Brother Walls, he has a book on his desk that says, "Everything I've Learned About the Ministry." And I'm talking about, this book is about that thick. And on the front, it has his name, Garvin Walls. And when you open up the book, every page is blank. That'll sink in for some of y'all in just a minute. Every page is blank. But basically saying is, I'm still learning. And he's been doing it for 50 plus years. And he'll tell, and I've talked to him many times about the end, the biggest thing, the most important thing for you in pastoring, ministering, as well as other men that I've talked to, it gets back to one thing, prayer. Prayer. Folks, we just don't realize, and I asked Brother Sam about this song that we sang tonight, and I'll share a chorus later. Prayer is a lifeline. Prayer is so important that we see in praying for one another, but praying for our pastor. Many times during his earthly ministry, as I mentioned this morning, the Lord took the time to deal with people. But we also need to remember, as we serve the Lord, and remember that we need to take the time as well as we deal with people, encourage people, doing our part, all that we can to help others as we serve them through the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, pray that your pastor will be a man of prayer. First step, pray your pastor will be a man of prayer. So let me ask you a question. Do you want to have a great pastor? Do you want to have a pastor? Then pray that he will reach heaven upon his knees. Pray your pastor will have the time. He will make the time. He will not have too many disruptions. He will begin his day and even through the day to have time and prayer and communication with the Lord. If he's the one I'm depending upon when I'm preaching, he's the one I'm depending upon when I'm teaching the Word of God, that I need to make sure I'm spending time with him, not just in the Word, but time in prayer and asking the Lord to help me. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8. Did I have that printed out for you, or just a scripture reference? Okay, here we go. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that hath seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Easily put, if we ask, we receive. If we don't ask, we don't receive. Now, sometimes the answer is no, but it's the asking. Now, some of you understand this is kind of a basic, simple illustration, but does most children or grandchildren have a problem asking you for something? No. You know, grandchildren that spent part of the weekend with us, and then today they were going to church, and on their way back from church, and now, well, let me back up a minute. As you know, I'm a Tennessee fan. I don't know what happened to my daughter, but spending some time in Florida in Bible college, time in Florida on the staff of the church I got saved in, somehow she got corrupted and became a Gator fan. So she's a Gator fan. I'm a Gator hater, but I love my daughter. So their kids are coming home from church, and she asked asked her mom, "I want a dirt bike. I want a dirt bike for Christmas. It's coming. We want a dirt bike." And here, 3, 4, and 6 years old, they want a dirt bike. But anyway, that's what they want. And then they butter mom up and say, "We want a Gator dirt bike." Thinking mom will say yes. And Ivy says, "I don't want a Gator dirt bike. I want a Tennessee dirt bike." And mom says, "You ain't getting one." She goes, "That's okay. I'll ask Grams." The point I'm trying to make was, she went to a source where she thought she might get a request answered. What's the best source that we need to go to get our answers? It needs to be him, and we need to spend time in prayer. Someone said, every man mighty for God was first mighty in prayer. I can't tell you who said it. I'm sorry. When I was in Bible college, we were had a task of writing down quotes, writing down things, writing these 3x5 cards down, giving them credit. We had to turn them in every semester as part of our homiletics or preaching class. Some of those I've remembered, and I just know there, but I can't remember who gave the quotes. I lost a large aspect of my library in a fire on the mission field. But sometimes I remember these things, and when I can, I'll give credit. But I don't know, but someone said, every man mighty for God was first mighty in prayer. And that is our source, that is our power. We must remember, if God is going to do a work, it is going to be done in His time and in His power. But if it's going to be done, it will be done in the power of prayer. Are we praying? And if we are praying, what are we praying for? Do we have a priority list? At the top of that list should be your church. And I know there's many things on our list that we pray for. I've got family members that are not saved. I've got family members that have gotten away from the Lord that I pray for. But we need to pray for our local politicians, our president, as I mentioned, our church, our pastor, and begin praying now for the Sunday school classes that will begin. Sunday school teachers that we'll raise up as our church grows to have more teachers and work with our children, with our youth, other class. I have a vision and a desire to one day to step away from the Bible auditorium class and start a couples class. I want to teach a young couples class. But it has to start somewhere, and I hope to add that somewhere down the line. Until then, we'll pray, asking God. That's why we share these prayer requests, so we know how to pray. And friends, you may be encouraged to be a people of prayer, mighty in prayer. Let me ask you, do you have a hotline to heaven? Is there someone in your life that if you needed an answer to, you felt like you needed an answer from the Lord, is there one person that you would call and say, would you please pray? Is there someone like that in your life? Are you that someone for someone else? I remember when we were in Bible college, we'd sit about three or four rows back in this massive 5,000-seat auditorium, pastor sitting on the platform, and behind him was a choir, a large choir, and there was a phone along the way. And Brother Willinger, as assistant pastor, every once in a while he'd pick up that phone, and usually he was communicating to the sound booth. It was just a line he could communicate with. Something happened, he'd get a word to the pastor every once in a while. You'd see him pick it up. Well, somewhere along the way, our kids thought that Brother Willinger was picking the phone up, getting instructions from God. Don't you wish it was that easy? But it is, exactly. But it's not that easy if you don't take it serious. I had a youth pastor as a teenager. Her name was Miss Ursula. Miss Ursula had a prayer life. She talked to God. If you wanted something done, you would go to Miss Ursula and say, Miss Ursula, please pray. I can remember going to Miss Ursula and saying, Miss Ursula, please don't pray. Don't pray. Because one day she told to me, she whispered in my ear and she says, young man, God is working in your heart. He's going to call you to preach. Mark my words. She knew something at that time that I knew that I had told nobody else because I was afraid. I was running from the Lord. And the first thing I thought was, please don't pray. I was scared to death. I didn't know that I was ready to preach. I didn't want to be a preacher. I was still scared to death when I do it, but I was so concerned about it. Surely the Lord wouldn't use me. But I knew that she had a lifeline. Do we have that type of lifeline? Let me encourage you. Pray for your pastor will be a man of prayer. And as you pray for your pastor to be a man of prayer, you become a man and a woman of prayer. Make it as essential in your life as eating is. It's that important to me. Just like I need something to eat, just like here in this Arizona desert, I need to drink my 2, 3, 4 liters of water in the summer. Make it the same way with your prayer. I need time with God. Number two, pray that your pastor will be a man of Holy Spirit power. Pray that he'll be a man of power. There are two things that I pray for constantly, as not only as your pastor, but as a man in general, as a Christian. First of all, I pray for wisdom. I pray for wisdom. Wisdom in ministry, wisdom in message preparation, and wisdom in decision making. Because, dear friends, sometimes I feel overwhelmed. Sometimes there's so many decisions that need to be made, and I want to make the right one. Not what's best for me, but what's best for my church family. It's not me first, it's my church family. Even though the decision I have to make sometimes is not comfortable for me, but it's what's comfortable for the church. I say, Lord, give me wisdom. Secondly, I pray for power. That is Holy Spirit power in my teaching and preaching. Now, one of our a gentleman made a comment to me tonight at how the Lord is blessing and the Lord is growing. It seems like things are working well. You're doing a good job, preacher. And I appreciate the compliment. And I looked at him and I know what he meant. And I said, I'm doing my best to stay out of the way and let the Lord work. I want to work in me and through me. I don't want to mess things up by touching it. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I'm involved here. I am the pastor, but I want to be careful and pray that God will give me that wisdom, but also the Lord will give me power and that he moves and that he guides and that he makes the decisions. I would rather be a little slow in decision-making than make one too quick that's not his but mine. I want to make sure it is in the Lord's timing. So as you pray for your pastor, pray for his man of prayer, man of power, but pray the Lord also give me wisdom. The Lord will give me power in my preaching. And as I come to church, and not just on Sunday morning, but on that weekend, I wind down on the weekend. I try to get home, and even when the kids came over Saturday night for a meal, we spent time with the grandchildren and our daughter. You know, my daughter knows at a certain time that Dad likes to wind down, just like he did when she was at home, have a little relaxing time, get my mind on the things of the Lord, the message, God's people. And I even wrestled over the weekend a little bit. Lord, I know I'm coming into a church and we're getting some visitors for the most part. Everyone has a salvation testimony. But the Lord reminded me, we don't know who walks through those doors. We have no idea who's going to come on any given Sunday. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to prepare. I'm going to finish. I'm going to preach exactly what you'd have me to preach. And as I think about this, and as I come into church, even while I'm sitting here on the front row, previous year sometimes sitting on the platform, but as I'm sitting there all during the services, I am praying. I'm saying, Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, please, I need you. I need your power. I need the power today to preach the message that the Lord would have me to preach. I need to preach with power the eternal word of God to my people and those that visit today. Folks, I have not forgotten the awesome responsibility of being a pastor and opening the word of God and sharing with somebody. I need you to remember that as well. It is a tremendous blessing and privilege, but also a great obligation. So as I strive to become a man of prayer, and you pray for me that I become and stay and increase a man of prayer, but also in power, that the word of God would go forth in power, that the word of God would be received in the right way, but most importantly, even in that, that I'm obedient and not in the flesh. See, I can't be in the spirit and in the flesh at the same time. And I'm going to make sure that I'm in the confines of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, we hear, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And I, you know, just praise God, there is no shortage of his supernatural power. As I mentioned, Jesus said there, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. We're to go forth and reaching and teaching and baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He is my source. Imagine this. I can't do this, but if I was to go to an outlet, and there's not one over here, should have planned a little bit better. And, you know, you plug something in to give it power for it to charge, to do what it needs to do. And it receives that power to charge, whether it's rechargeable batteries or for your radio to work, your computer to work. It has to have a power source. And for me to be effective in my life, my power source needs to be the Holy Spirit of the Lord. Has to be. If I do it in the flesh, I believe in a period of time, it will come evidence. I remember a preacher, also a former pastor, that I had some years ago. He shared with us a story, and it gave the comment about a time that he knew that he had gotten in the flesh. He said, I was preaching in a meeting, and I just knew that I got in the flesh. I got ready to come up and preach in the word of God. We got through with the invitation, through the preaching, began to give an invitation, and he said, nobody came in the first stanza. And then he got in the flesh and he said, surely we can get somebody to come. And he exaggerated. He says, I couldn't even get anybody to come to give up bubblegum candy or any bad habit. I mean, he was really trying to get somebody to come and make a decision. And as he shared this with these preacher boys, he reminded us. And after all is said and done, he said, I cowardly just knew under great, great conviction, I was the one that needed to be at the altar. I preached that night in the flesh and allowed the flesh to take over an invitation, trying to get people to come so I could just say that people came during the invitation. He said he slipped out the back door, went over to one of the other buildings on the campus and just fell before the Lord. He said, I don't know how long I was there. He said, but I beg God, and I weep for some time begging God to forgive me. And by the grace of God, he said, Lord, I promise I will never rely upon myself. I will never do what I can to get a response. I will never push or persuade or beg people. I will trust in you and you alone. Now, I don't know how old he was when that took place, but I knew the Lord has used him greatly through the years that I've known about his ministry. Again, it gets back to the aspect of not of the flesh. Pray your pastor will be a man of prayer, but also depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit. As we continue our text here in verse 8, Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, we read one of the men chosen to assist the disciple, Stephen. And the Bible says in verse 8 and verse 10, he was full of faith and power and did great wonders and miracles among the people. And in verse 10 we read, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Dear friends, this is the kind of power your pastor needs in ministry and teaching. This is the type of power that those that work with our youth and with our teens and our children and other classes, this is the kind of power that Michelle needs when she's teaching a Bible study class. This is the type of power that we all need when we stand and open the Word of God to teach, to rely upon him and let the Spirit of God work. We've all heard the phrase, at least we have down south, mama called and papa sent. All these preachers that may say that God's called me to preach and usually fizz out. We need to realize and understand as we teach and preach the Word of God, allow the Holy Spirit to work. You'd be surprised at the amount of people through the years of my ministry that got saved that never walked the aisle. There are some that walk the aisle and someone talked to them and they prayed. But what I'm saying is, you don't have to walk the aisle to trust Jesus as your Savior. The Holy Spirit of God works in people's life. They leave these doors and they may be on their way home and the Lord works in their hearts. I've received phone calls from previous churches I pastor, especially work in the military, where I get a phone call or Monday morning come by and say, preacher, can I meet with you this week? And make the comments, you know, I left church that morning. I knew I should have came forward. I didn't, but I couldn't sleep last night. I'm miserable. I don't know what it is. Why do I feel this way? And I said, that's conviction. And I go through the process of asking about their soul and if they know they're saved, if they've ever made that decision. And we talk through that. And they've never trusted Christ. I take them through that. If they have trusted the Lord, then we go to the relationship and where they are. Are they growing closer or are they growing apart? And that's, again, part of that wisdom that your pastor needs when he deals with people. Wouldn't it be great to see the power and the glory of God in this church burst forth because God's people were praying for the power of God upon their pastor in the ministry? Folks, I still believe, though our world is waxing worse and worse, I still believe that we can see a revival take place. I still believe we can see hearts and lives changed, and it takes the effort on our part to spend time in prayer, begging the Lord to do something. Going back again to the example with our granddaughters, that took place. And why we know about it? Because our daughter called us when she was stuck in traffic there on the 10, hardly moving, shared the story with us. And I know without a doubt the next time we see Ivy, she's going to say, Grams, what about that Tennessee bike? She's not going to give up. Folks, we don't bow our head and say, Lord, fill our church. Lord, we want to see souls saved. Lord, help us to see people come in and be a part of our church family, help them to grow. Lord, help us to reach these people to go out that we sent these flyers to. Lord, help us to see a difference. Amen. No, that's once. But I mean repetitively asking the Lord, a daily thing that we're asking the Lord to work in our church family, and then, by the way, in our own personal life. See, there's people outside these doors that our Lord wants to reach and see in. But he may not necessarily want me to reach him. He may want you to reach him. You may be the place. You may be the source. You may be the opening of that person to get to them, befriend them, and invite them and bring them to the house of God. It is working together, laboring together, praying for your pastor for that. There'll be a man of prayer, but also a man of power. We sang the song tonight. Let me read the second stanza again. Power and prayer. Lord, power and prayer. Here, mid earth's sin and sorrow and care, men lost and dying, souls in despair. Oh, give me power, power in prayer. Folks, that is the key source of the believer in power, is power in prayer. Oh, how God wants to work and wants to move. Let's spend some time with him. Number three, pray that your pastor will not only be a man of prayer and a man of power, but pray that your pastor will be a man of passion. A man of passion. By this we mean a man who has an intense feeling of emotion in his love for God, his love for the Word of God, and his love for the people of God. Pray that your pastor will be a tender-hearted man and a man of compassion for the souls of men as a preacher. Dear friends, we have so many people that live in our community, thousands, and we're growing and we're growing and we're growing and we're growing. We need to be a people of compassion. We need to be a people of prayer, but we also need to ask our pastor, or should we pray for our pastor, that he will continue to be a man of passion with great compassion toward others. You ever get discouraged? You ever feel like that, you know, hey, no mercy today, buddy. Yeah, me and my four-way stops. I feel that way sometimes. That's a running joke now these days. But you know, we spent time on the mission field some years ago. While we were in Bible college and before we left for the mission field, they had me take a temperament test. And they say there's four categories. I'm not going to take the time to go through all of them. But you know, the one who, you know, walks in the room and the party begins. That outgoing personality, the phlegmatic, the choleric, the sanguine, and there's one more, melancholy. Well, I pretty much balanced out pretty level, almost same on each category, around the 20s, some a little higher, some a little lower. We went on the mission field, and we had a difficult time. I mean, we got robbed, so we bought a dog. Good guard dog. They stole my dog. We had all types of problems and difficulties. We saw souls saved. We saw a church established, some exciting things. But when I came home on my first furlough, I was mentally and physically spent. We had lived 4+ years in a third world country with most of the running water was when I ran out and fetched it, no matter what time of the season it was. We had a bathroom inside and a bathroom outside. I mean, we just lived out in the country, way out from a lot of people, had a few neighbors, but they were all poor. And we were trying to learn a language, reach a people, build a work, had electricity some days, did not have. We scraped, as I mentioned before, ice off the windows of our house inside because we didn't always have a heat source. Because it'd run out, you couldn't get it. Or I'd go down and buy kerosene or buy fuel, diesel fuel in our the old Suburban we had, and I was siphoning it out, putting it in the tank so we'd have fuel for the heater for the night on those cold nights. So I got home and I was spent. And Brother Ricky Nation, sweet man, Kirsten Cancer, him and his wife had a counseling, and they come by and said, Brother Cook, would you do me a favor? Would you come back by and take that temperament test before you're here too long? I said, sure, I'd be happy to. Spiritual gifts test, yes. I went back and took that spiritual gifts test, and guess what your preacher scored on mercy? Zero. Zero. My first 2 weeks back from the mission field. I was just exhausted, spent physically, mentally, spiritually, all the way around because of things that took place. That's why I need your prayers, even as a pastor, not just for the aspect of prayer and for power, but that I always have that passion and compassion for the souls of men, for those around me. Sometimes it's hard to be patient. Sometimes it's hard to listen and go forward and forward and on. Sometimes you feel like you're hearing the same thing over and over and over again in ministry. But that's my role as a pastor, to be fresh and anew every time that I speak to someone. Compassion. As a preacher, I need to and I want to, and I can say tonight with all honesty, I feel for the older generation who needs to be encouraged and comforted in their golden years. We have those who are struggling with their health. We have Miss Rose who's in the hospital. We have others, and I feel for them, and I need to have and stay in contact and compassion and pray for them and visit them as I have an opportunity. As your pastor, I desire to see young families of the church growing and developing in the Word of God and their walk with Christ. I get excited when we hear of people being saved. I get excited when new families join the church, and I want to encourage them. You know, tonight and I spent some time with Joe, you forgive me, okay? If I say something wrong, you tell me. But Joe was out there reading his Bible and going over the devotional book, and I went out and I sat down with him, and we spent about 5-10 minutes on and off talking about some things and trying to encourage him because he's wanting to learn and he's wanting to grow, and he made the real comment that is really real. Sometimes, preacher, I just feel overwhelmed. Now, I didn't say this to him, but I'm going to say it now. So do I. Now, think what it's like for the new believer to be overwhelmed, leaving one life, entering to another, and feeling like everyone around you knows so much more than you know. And I said, Joe, don't worry. I remind him, how do you eat a steak? One steak at a time. I said, Joe, I'm not worried about you getting this book finished from front to cover on this discipleship thing. I'm just worried about you going at your own pace, understanding, and once you feel you've mastered it, then go to the next one. He goes, well, what about reading my Bible? You know, I really know I need to read my Bible. I need to have devotions. And I said, well, don't feel like you got to read your whole Bible in a year. Take a chapter, a section a day, read it, and ask the Lord what you can learn from it, and maybe make a few notes. I gave him a small little devotional to read. In other words, trying to encourage him. You don't have to master everything the first year. It can be overwhelming for a new believer. You know, he made the comment about some others have been a little more seasoned, have talked this and talked that. And I said, well, Joe, if you begin talking about a truck and how to move the gears and what gear needs to be that and when you need to do this, would they understand? He just smiled and said, nope. They don't understand about these people out here driving, how they don't realize that nobody sees an 18-wheeler going down the road. Nobody. They pull right out in front of you and slow down. You're trying to stop. I said, you know that language just the same way. You know it because you've done it for years. Now, years to come, as the Lord tears his return, you start mastering one day at a time the Word of God. I encourage them to read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, little by little. Do your discipleship book, fill it out. Get this for chapter 1, don't worry about running to chapter 2. Go back and read chapter 1. You master it on your time and move forward. As you grow in the Lord and you begin to master some things, you gain more confidence than you can bite off more. And we need to realize ourselves and remember, everyone has a struggle. I don't know how the unbeliever does it, but I need you to continue to remember to pray for your pastor that I will keep the passion and compassion alive, fresh and new every single day. You know, I look over this community and I realize there are still hundreds, actually thousands, that we need to reach for Christ. There are still people that have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel or those who need to hear it one more time. Oh, how I long as your pastor to see men and women, boys and girls, coming forward to receive Christ as their personal Savior. I want all that comes with it. I want the bubble gum underneath the pews. I want to have to paint the walls once in a while because the kids are running around. I want the nursery worker to come by and say, preacher, I got to have some help. You know, those are good problems to have. But that means we all, starting with the pastor, needs to have that passion for the souls of men, that compassion for those that are around us, and saying, Lord, help me keep it fresh and new. I remember when Michelle and I first got married. Before that, when we were courting and we were seeing each other every evening before we went to bed, you know, we were trying to talk on the phone. This was before cell phones, so we had to use the college dorm phones and talk to each other and say goodbye, or we'd be at the door and I'd talk to her for a few more minutes, and we ended up spending, after walking around, having some time together on the campus, you know, getting ready to go back, and we spent another 15 minutes on the front porch just talking, just, you know, making those eyes at one another. You remember, guys, how you usually have to, all you have to do is look at each other, and just days and hours would go by. Do we still have that long, compassionate love and spending time for our Lord? Carving out that time to talk with him through prayer, allow him to talk to us through the word. That compassion works not only in reaching others, but still having that passion and that fire for the Lord. When I was young when I got saved, I had the privilege of that. And I remember getting away from the Lord. And then I remember coming back to the Lord. And I remember how excited I was about saying, you know what? I've drifted far enough. I'm going to get on fire for the Lord. I'm going to serve him. I had no idea the Lord was going to call me to preach. But as a young man, 16, 17 years old, I just wanted to serve God. I mean, I was so excited. I was ready to fill up some water guns and go put out hell's fire. I mean, I was excited. We need to have that excitement in our lives every opportunity that God gives us to talk to someone else. Why does somebody want to go up to the church that's dead? Why does somebody want to go to church with someone who has no life, no compassion, no excitement about anyone around them? Pray your pastor will be a man of prayer, a man of power, but also a man of passion. Pray that your pastor can have a heart of passion and compassion that will penetrate the hearts to get a, and have that burden that they need to reach those that need the gospel. Psalm 126, Pray your pastor will have the heart of Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. Many of you have this memorized. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with him. Pray, number four, our last one tonight, pray that your pastor not only be a man of prayer, man of power, and a man of passion, but pray that he'll be a man of persistence, persistence. Sometimes I've got to be that squeaky wheel. Sometimes I just need to stay after, be a little more persistent on other things. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, he tells young Timothy. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We are there. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Notice again these words in verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Being a pastor sometimes means having thick skin and being persistent and not allowing things to get to you. Would you not agree with this statement? Everyone likes to be liked. We don't know anyone that doesn't like us. And I've made this example before. Oftentimes the pastor walks into a crowded room. He has to get ready to duck or pucker. Many times they're either hated or they're loved and embraced. And sometimes we don't know, but it doesn't matter what you think or what you feel. I want you to know that I love you and I will preach the word of God without compromise. And sometimes that means in being persistent, I got to remember to also do it in compassion. There are so many things I can say that are hard. And if I have a tear in my eye of compassion that's sincere and real, it can be a lot easier to take. But sometimes it has to be a little more pointed. Pray that I will be persistent with that compassion and stay with it, not be discouraged and not quit and not want to give up because I find out somebody's upset with me. Think about it for a moment. Every once in a while I get, no, well, preacher, did you hear? You know, so-and-so has left or so-and-so is upset. So-and-so didn't like. And, I'm the typical guy. I want to be liked like everyone else. But I also remind myself. And every Monday morning when I get up and I have my first round of coffee, I sit at my desk and I still have my outline in from this morning and it'll stay there and my outline from tonight. And I'll look over my outline in the morning and I'll go over it again. I'll ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything I should not have said that I got in the flesh? Lord, is there anything that I could have said for another time, for another message? And I'll make notes on my outline or I'll make notes on a little journal about some things. I make notes of how many people were there. I make notes about decisions that were made. To encourage me and help me to be persistent. And even when I hear, and let me say this real quick before I finish that sentence. I'm grateful for the three deacons the Lord has given us here at Harvest Baptist Church of Goodyear. I'm thankful for the deacons we have. I'm thankful for the men that we have. That encourages me. Just let me be honest with you. No pastor will stand and they'd be dishonest if they told you at times they did not to get discouraged. They would be dishonest. There's times, everyone does, and that matter what your role is. But I have been so amazed, and I shouldn't be because just of the Lord, of how many times since we've been here where not necessarily I was discouraged, but maybe just a little tired, or maybe just the point was, man, and I've said this one time, did I make a mistake? Hey, I'm just being honest. It seems like every time I've had that one time I've had that thought or another time being a little tired, I'll come in and either there'll be a card on my desk or my wife will say, hey, somebody slipped this to me to give to you. And open up that card and read it. And I just laugh and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, who works through my men, our people, to encourage me when I need it the most. There's a card that sat in Michelle's pocketbook for 3 or 4 days that she forgot to give me. But she gave me the day that I needed it. That's just God. Pray that your pastor will be a man of prayer. Pray that he will be all these things that I mentioned, a man of power, a man of passion, but a man of persistence. I need to be thick-skinned, but at the same time, I need to be compassionate. I need to understand and realize that other people hurt as well. Paul here is urging, we'll close with this. Paul is urging Timothy here, we just read, in the face of problems and opposition, don't quit. Remain faithful. And dear friends, this ought to be the prayer that you have for your pastor. Lord, protect him. Put a hedge about him. Protect him from sin. Protect him from physical harm and distress. Lord, help him to have that alligator skin. Help him to be persistent. Help him to be like water off a duck's back, that it just doesn't bother him. Pray that he will be a man of persistence. Pray that he will not be a quitter. Pray that he will stay close to God. Pray that he will press on in the work despite any opposition. Pray that he will be faithful to God's calling in his life, in his ministry. Again, persistence, not a quitter, that he'll stay close to God. Pray that he'll press on in the work despite any opposition. And pray that he will be faithful to God's calling in his life and his ministry. Dear friends, remember, and I'll close with this thought. I am 59 years old. I'll be 60 in January. Excuse me, January, November. Michelle is still 21. Some days I feel like my get up and go is got up and left. And there's one thing that I've really enjoyed about being here at this church and being in Arizona. I've got some folks out here in this congregation that are 20 plus years older than me, and I feel like, where are they getting their energy? I think it's the sun. I mean, there's days I'm feeling really good. I had almost 5,000 steps in my preaching this morning, moving around. I've enjoyed being here. I feel invigorated, but at the same time, we all must remember, when there's a high, there's excitement, God's doing something, Satan wants to move in, he wants to bring it crashing down. So we need to make sure that we do our part, praying for your pastor, praying for one another in all of these areas. And remember, I know, our Heavenly Father sent His Son to die for the sins of the world, Amen. That we might have eternal life. And there's still people who need to hear that. There's still people, there's people that have moved to Arizona to retire, when in fact the Lord has allowed them to move to Arizona so they can get saved. So they could hear the gospel. It wasn't just their job that moved them. It wasn't just retirement. The Lord has a plan and He's laid it out. And God's plan is for me to be here, for you to be here, and others that will be here. And so we need to do our part. I beg of you, pray that God will help me to stay and be a man of prayer, be a man of power, Holy Spirit power, a man of passion, a man of compassion, but also that persistence that I stick with it, stay with it, have that alligator skin, but at the same time, keep that tear in my eye. The day that I can't weep for the souls of men, today that I can't sit down with you and weep with you, is the day that I need to step aside from the ministry. Pray that God helps me to keep that passion, and you can help me. I've said this once before, I'll say it tonight, and we'll have a word of prayer. Help me. Remember the sensitivity and the importance of Sunday morning. If there's anything that you want to talk about, text me about, email me about. If it can wait, let it wait till Sunday evening or Monday morning. If it's of great importance, yes, see me or see one of the deacons. But help me to stay focused and in tune for the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Come by my office, say good morning, say hello. There's nothing wrong with that. But help me keep away the tares, the distractions, or anything that would hinder me from staying in tune and focus with the Lord. Amen. That will help me greatly. And at the same time, if I can be distraction-free and stay in tune with the Lord when I get up for that last time sitting here and walk up to the pulpit and preach without having any other things bothering me, because I already asked the Lord, and this is another message. I have what I call a worry tray. Anyone else have a worry tray? Anybody have a worry tray? I've got one. It's wooden. It's bigger than my Bible, not quite as big as my platform. And every once in a while, I have to put all my cares, all of my concerns, all of my worries on this tray, and I have to go put it away, and I say, Lord, would you take care of this? I've got to go to your house. to feed the people that you've entrusted me with. I need to leave them here. Lord, help me. And I walk away. But guess what? I'm human. Sometimes I go, you with me? Yeah. I've got to remind myself, he promised me to take care of it. I need to entrust him. And let me encourage you to do the same thing on a daily basis. Lord, here's my worries. Here's my concerns. I'm going to leave it with you. I'm going to go about my business, do the work of the Lord, go to my job, wherever it may be. I'm going to leave them there and entrust you with it so I can be my best for those who need me. Because see, if I tote that worry tray around me all the time, I can't have the power that I need to have. I can't have the passion or the compassion that I need to have. I can't have the persistence or the Holy Spirit power I need to have if I'm toting around those worries that are draining me mentally and physically and keeping me from being the shepherd that you deserve and the shepherd that God wants me to be. That's why I need your prayers in these areas. And we'll share three more next week. But if you don't have one, when you get home, psychologically, make one up, do something, but you develop to a place where you can put down all your worries and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you with this, and then just walk away. Now, I'm telling you now, you'll get a few steps away and you're going to go back, but you just keep reminding yourself, he's promised to take care of these things. I'm going to depart and go away, and I'm going to go serve the Lord. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to Sunday school. I'm going to go to the evening service. I'm going to go to Wednesday night service. I'm going to leave those there. And you never know when you just might come to church, sit in this auditorium, your pastor, your Sunday school teacher opens the Bible, preaches and teaches the word, and God says, see, I told you. See, I've got it. See, I've taken care of it. You'd be amazed at what we hear, what we glean, and what we learn when we just give those things over to God and see what he has for us. Amen. Let's all stand together for prayer. It's just a couple minutes after 7. Take a little time to fellowship with one another before you leave. God bless. If I don't see you before, I will be at here at the church on Monday and Tuesday here in the church office working around the church. In fact, I'm having a weed party all week this week and next before Easter. If you'd like to come out and help pull weed spray, we would love the help. What's that? Yes. Oh, my. Leave it out to my wife. Only one. No one else thought that. Now everyone else is. Okay, Marlene, you and Michelle can go ahead and get to the altar and take care of that. Weeding party. I'm going to pull some weeds, spray some weeds, do something, especially before Easter comes, get it under control before things get real bad. Let's pray. Father, again, we love you so much. We thank you for humor. Thank you that we can laugh and fun with each other. But Lord, most importantly, we thank you for a church family that we can come together to worship and to fellowship and to glean from the scripture. Father, help us to remember, Lord, not just praying for me as our pastor, but Lord, to pray for one another, to pray for the ministry. May we all strive and have a goal of saying, Lord, we need to be the type of prayer warrior that you'd have us to be. Father, we need Holy Spirit power in our daily walk. Father, help us to have the persistence and the compassion we need in serving others and serving one another. Now, Father, dismiss us with your love. Help as we go through the work week, Lord, as we prepare to minister unto others and go about our day, Father. Help us this week to make a difference in someone's life. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. As remember, God loves you. His preacher loves you. Please, if I can be helped to you, do not hesitate.